We're continuing the gate from God to man and man to God. And right now we're in the process of what we call from man to God. We spent several weeks talking from about God to man, how that God reached out after the fall and decided to redeem man. And we talked about who God is and what his motive was, then how that Jesus became flesh. And we talked about the aspects of his earthly ministry and how he became the mediator between us and God and how he became the bread of life and the light of the world. And then we talked about his redemptive ministry. How about in the labor, we talked about his perfect life, his perfect humanity. And then we talked about his redemption. We've talked about the three gates, the gate to the outer court, the gate to the holy place, and the gate to the holy of holies, and the significance of those things. We've gone all the way out to the outer gate. We've turned around and we're headed back to God. Last week we talked about the cross. We talked about what Jesus did for us on the cross. And our text for this whole thing is in Exodus 25:8. And where God says, let them build me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. And in the Old Testament, he shut himself up in the Holy of Holies because he could not dwell among them because of their sinful hearts, their sinful nature. But he enacted a plan and he demonstrated it through the tabernacle. The tabernacle in the Old Testament was a very functional thing, but it was also a pictorial thing of something that was to happen in the New Testament. And last week we talked about the outer gate. See, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Those correspond to those gates. The outer gate is the way. And remember last week we talked about the narrow gate and the wide gate. The wide gate being the ideal that is that I have to do something in order to earn my way to God. That is very huge, bad, wide gate theology that's in Christianity. That somehow I have to do something in order to merit to be saved. And if I just be good, if I just keep the Ten Commandments, if I just live by the golden rule, if my good outweighs my bad, then I'll be okay. That is wide gate theology. Jesus says the gate that leads to life is narrow. And he says, I am that gate. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but by me. So we talked about that last week, and then we talked about that how our first encounter with God is through his provision of what Jesus did on the cross. In the outer court, and that's kind of where we're at right now. We've only got another week or two in this series. But in that outer court, God deals with, remember the metal in the outer court is what? Is it gold? No. It's what? It's brass. And brass speaks of sin and judgment. At the brazen altar, God dealt with our nature of sin. At the cross, that is where God could open the way to us because Jesus became our sin. He took our sin. He suffered for our sin. He was crucified, dead, and buried, and rose from the dead. Now, those are the fundamentals of Christianity. If we do not believe those things, then guess what? Can I just say it? We're not Christian. We don't get to decide what Christianity is. Christianity is what it is. And it's a very narrow way of viewing things. Jesus made sure it was narrow. The way the things that he said would exclude anything else. And he did that on purpose because there is one way to God, and that's through Christ. And I know that that's not popular theology these days, but either it's true or it's totally false. Either Christianity is the only way or it's no way. It's not one of the ways. It's either the way or it's no way. And Jesus, the words that Jesus said defined it that way. Because if Christianity is wrong, if Christianity is not true, then guess what? It's totally false. It is totally false. It just can't be one of the other religions and the other ways to God. Jesus excluded it from that by his statements. So in the brazen altar, God dealt with our sin. In the brazen laver, and this is what we're going to talk about today. In fact, it talks about the laver, if you're taking notes, in Exodus chapter 30 and verse 18. It told him to build a laver. Now, a laver and there's not any dimensions of it, but it's a big bowl, and it's filled with water. And what the priest would do before any time that they did their daily service in the tabernacle, or even on the Day of Atonement when the high priest would take blood into the Holy of Holies, that high priest had to wash at this laver. When he went in, he had to wash. When he came out, he had to wash. He did it daily. See, there was a priest system in the Old Testament, and it was the Levites. The Levites were the priest. They're the only tribe that did not have an inheritance in the land. The other 11 tribes had land that God gave them, but he did not give the Levites any inheritance. They were the priestly tribe. They were the ones who took care of the tabernacle. They were the ones who took care of the sacrifices. They were the ones who took care of the things to God. And they kind of had a rotating system where these priests would take turns, and I don't know exactly how they did all of that, but they would do the daily duties in the tabernacle. They offered the sacrifices. They would go into the holy place daily in the morning, in the evening, and they would fill the candlestick with oil. They would take care of that. Once a week, they would change out the table of showbread. And then morning and evening, they would do the incense sacrifices in the holy place. And that was their job. But any time they went in or out of that holy place, they had to wash their hands and their feet. They didn't wash their whole body. They washed their hands and their feet. Now, we've talked about this before, and we said that hands represent what? Our service to God. In fact... what it does, it reflects your attitude. It reflects the reason that we do what we do for God. See, you can do a God work and you can do it for the wrong reason. Did you know that? Maybe we have low self-esteem. And if we feel like, well, if I do something for God, then I'll feel better about myself. Is that right or wrong? That's wrong, isn't it? Why should we do things for God? Why should we do things for God? That's a good question. Why should we serve God? Why should we do anything that we do? Should it not be for the love of God? Should it be, okay, if I do this, then people will see me and they'll see me doing this thing and they'll have a better opinion of me. Right or wrong? That's wrong, isn't it? So this deals with the motive for which we do things. And there had to be pure motive for what they did. Okay? And then they washed their feet, which represented their walk before God. And that has to do with your daily walk, the way that you live your life. One has to do with daily walk. The other one has to do with attitude. God not only wants us to daily walk with Him, but He wants our attitude about everything that we do to be right. Wow. He's a stickler, isn't He? No. He has our best at heart. Everything that God reaches out to us to do has to do for our own personal growth. See, the truth of the matter is, in the outer court, the first one was the brazen altar, you could not save yourself. You could not save yourself. So guess what God did? He paid the price so that you could be saved. And each of these gates that we're looking at is a decision. First of all, it was a decision by God. It was God who decided in the veil for His Son to become flesh. It was God who decided in the outer court for Christ to go and be our sacrifice. It was the outer court thing. It was God who invited us to come into a relationship with Him. So God made three decisions about us. And then each gate going back to God represents decisions that you and I have to make about Him. Guess what? In that outer gate, that's a decision point. What will you do with Jesus, who is called Christ? What will be your reaction to Him? Will you believe that what He did for you? Will you receive Him as Lord and Savior? Or will you go your way? Or will you rely on your righteousness? Or will you rely on the thing that He did? See, we have to make that decision. And therein lies our faith. Some people who call themselves Christians are not Christian because of the decisions that they made about Christ. They mentally acknowledge that He's the Son of God, but their righteousness is based on what they have done, not based on what He has done. See, you could not make yourself righteous. There is nothing that you could do to make yourself righteous. You had to receive the gift of righteousness, but you had to make the decision to receive that. I call that the gate of drawing. And nobody comes to God unless he's drawn by the Father. And the Father loves us so much that he provided this, and he is in the business through the church of drawing people into a relationship with him. And as we do this, as we preach the gospel, as you're here today and you're hearing the gospel, God is calling you closer to him. Give me a good second service, amen.
Amen.
There you go. Then what about this second thing? What about the sin? Because that's brass too. One deals with the nature of sin. The other deals with daily sin. How many of you realize that we probably sin since we become Christians? Has anybody sinned since they become Christian? Not very many of you. Bless your hearts. Me and Johnny Hatfield have sinned since we have been Christian. Now, his wife hasn't, but now, me and Johnny, we met it up, don't we? We've sinned. Has the price been paid for that? Yeah, it's been paid. But what do we need? We need to be cleansed of that, don't we? And it hasn't anything to do with us being saved or lost. It has to do with what we practice. It has to do with our walk and our service to God. It has to do with our motive of heart and our daily walk with God. In the New Testament, who are the priests? You know what? In the New Testament, standing in the office of a pastor does not make me a priest. One of the things that we believe as Protestants is in the priesthood of the believer. That every one of us are priests. That every one of us can go to God for ourselves. You can pray for yourself. In the Old Testament, you couldn't do that. You couldn't come before God before yourself. You had to have a priest. In certain religions today, you really can't approach God for yourself. You have to have a priest as one who is the go-between. Well, we do have a go-between. He's in heaven and his name's Jesus. So guess what? He's opened the way. He says, I am the way. And guess what? I can go to God as a believer for myself. I don't have to have a pastor. But I still mess up. In my daily walk, I mess up. My attitude is not always right. Don't say amen. Your attitude is not always right. Now you can say amen. My walk is not always where it should be. You know, I could stand up here on the worship team. I'm picking on the worship team now. You could be on the worship team. You could have a calling to be on the worship team. But if you're up here to scratch an itch or to be seen or to be respected, guess what? Wrong attitude. Why should we be on the worship team? Because we love God. Oh, I love worship. Well, let me ask you a question. Do you love worship more than you love God? Did you know you can do that? I know people who praise, and worship. Oh, it gets quiet. What do you mean? Is there a difference? Yeah, there's a big difference. There's people who love the emotion of praise and the emotion of worship. And sometimes we get, I'm not picking at you, sometimes we get more caught up in that than we do God himself. Can you praise God when you don't feel like it? Can you worship God when things are not going right in your life? Can you do that? See, that has to do with your attitude. And let me just be honest, because I've had to go through a lot of this in the last couple of years. I've had to look at my life and discover why I do what I do. Was I saved? Yes. I've been saved since 1971. July the 12th, 1971, I got born again. My heart got changed. But I want to tell you something. My life didn't completely straighten. It's still not completely straight. Am I a Christian? Yes. Am I a follower of Christ? Yes. But I have another decision to make at that next gate. Am I going to be able to enter into that next gate? There's some decisions that I have to make. I want to read, and I'm kind of skipping around with my scripture guys up there. Psalms 24, verse 3, talks about this. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who may stand in His holy place? That's what we're talking about. There's two things that stand between the front gate and the holy place. And that's the brazen altar, which represents what Jesus did on the cross. And this second one is the brazen laver, which has to do with our daily walk and our attitude. And let me tell you very plainly, there's a lot of Christians, a whole lot of Christians, that do not progress in their life. It's because they're satisfied to live at that brazen altar. Well, I'm saved now. Hallelujah, I'm saved. But God is calling us to that next step where we deal with our walk and our attitude. And they just frankly don't want to do that because that's painful. And I know some of you here today have some painful past. And until you're willing to deal with your painful past, which is acted out sometimes in your behavior, you're not going to grow as a Christian. And that's the sad thing. In a lot of churches, we have a large majority of people who are saved, but they're still babies. Their attitudes still stink. Their walk with God is not what it should be. And they're not making headway. They're making excuses. Whoo, you don't shout much when we talk about this. We always know, and I say this all the time, but we always know and celebrate recovery when people are going to start dropping out. And that's when we get to step four. And that is make a fearless, searching, moral inventory of our lives. We don't want to look at ourselves. We don't want to look. We want God to do something for us with us out having to do any kind of changing. Every part of Christianity is about change. It's about change. Our hearts are changed when we make Jesus the Lord of our lives. He changes our heart. We are born again. We're made able to go to heaven because of the blood of Christ. But the blood of Christ may get you to heaven, but there's more to it in learning to live a life that pleases God. You can't do it without it, but it doesn't end there. And most Christians think that I'm saved now and that's all that matters. And therefore, I'm just going to kind of live my life the way that I want to live my life. That's not what God wants. And He says, who will be able to stand in His holy place? You know what it says? What does it say? It says this. He who has clean hands and a pure heart. You see what He's talking about? He's talking about that laver experience. You're going to have to have a cleansing. He's talking about God's people. Do God's people need to be cleansed daily? Do we need to be cleansed daily? Do you ever interact with people who rub you the wrong way? Do you ever act the way that they act towards them because they treated you a certain way and you don't have the attitude towards them and you think, well, it's them. No, it's you. You got to take it to the water. You got to cleanse the hands. You got to cleanse the feet if you're going to walk on with God. And most Christians, a great majority of Christians, live in the outer court because they're not qualified to stand in the holy place. The price has been paid. The invitation is made. But we choose not to wash our hands and our feet. Isn't that sad? I'm way behind today. I want to read some scripture real fast. Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives. All the women said, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it. Now, he's talking about the church. He's talking about the ones that have already been redeemed here. He's not talking about unbelievers. What is Jesus trying to do in the church today among the redeemed? He's trying to wash and sanctify it. And how does he do that? He says, with the washing of the water. The washing of the water. What's he talking about? He's not talking about our spirits. He's talking about our hands and our feet. He's talking about our daily walk and our attitudes. By the what? Does it say up there? By the word. The word of what? The word of God. See, Romans 12, 1 and 2 says this, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God. Jerry, I'm glad he didn't say by the judgment of God. He said by the mercy of God. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him, which is your reasonable service. It's just reasonable. If Jesus paid the price for you and gave his body for you, you ought to give your body back to him. You should invite him to live his life through your body. That's reasonable. Well, Pastor, don't ask me to serve. I just don't have time. I'm just asking you to do what's reasonable. I'm not asking you to do something that's unreasonable. But don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed, a metamorphosis, by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. That's the labor scripture. And we call it the renewing of the mind. What do we do that with? We do it with the Word of God. Now, who is it that's going to be able to go into the hill of God? Who is it that's going to be able to stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. Guess what? If you don't take the time to judge yourself, if you don't take the time to allow the Word of God to speak to you on a daily basis, how often did the priest wash? Daily. Daily. They wash daily. How many times do most Christians crack a Bible? Weekly. Some less than that. What's up with that? As priests, we're to have a daily time in the Word. We're to have daily cleansing. We're to allow the Word of God to speak to us daily. Because we have a tendency to get drawn aside by life. Doing life will mess you up if you don't stay in constant contact with God. Really, it will. So we need that cleansing. I have to go back to the Word and remind myself sometimes, okay, your attitude's out of line. Lord, please forgive me. Cleanse me of this, Lord. I don't want to be this way. I'm tired of this prejudice in my life. I'm tired of these things going wrong in my life. I want to cleanse myself from this. And the only way to do it is changing the way that we think through the Word of God. You know what? If I won't do that, I have grown as far as I'm going to grow as a Christian. Can I say this? I'm going to. Your ceiling of growth is your weakness. The thing that you won't deal with. Maybe it's fear. Fear becomes your ceiling. Well, I can't step out and serve. I'm afraid what people might say. And that becomes your ceiling. and you grow, you don't grow beyond that. And then, you know what? When things don't go right in your life, you're, well, God, I don't understand why this is happening to me. It's because you won't deal with yourself. We live in a dysfunctional society today, and we wonder why marriages are falling apart. We wonder why families are breaking up. We wonder why people go from relationship to relationship and relationship. Guess what? It's because we won't deal with the problems that we have in life. You won't deal with your past. Even though you've been saved from your past and God has forgiven you of your past, the knowledge of your past and the lifestyle still dictates to you and still dictates your behavior. I lived in fear and inferiority for years as a Christian. And it kept me. It became my ceiling for growth. And until I began to deal with that inferiority, that was my ceiling. As I dealt with that, guess what? My ceiling for growth went up. I didn't have to live in the outer court. I could go into the place and begin to discover what real truth is all about. See, that next place that God wants to bring you into is transforming truth. Transforming truth. The truths of who we are in Christ Jesus. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. Although we have that, we don't walk in the potential of that until we deal daily with the things that keep us from walking in that. Amen. And that has to do with your walk and your attitude. Your walk and your attitude. Wow, we got to stop right there. I'm going to ask the prayer team to come. I give a different invitation today. If you want to make Jesus Lord, this is the place you can do it right now. But even more than that today, I think you need to be willing to deal with some issues in your life. You need to make the decision. You need to drive some stakes today in your life and begin to deal with things that just mess up your life. Attitude issues and personal walk issues. As we begin to pray, you can respond. Father, thank you so much today that not only have you provided the way to salvation, but you have provided a way to make us whole in our daily lives. You have provided daily victory through the washing and the cleansing of your word. Lord God, would you do a work in our heart today? I thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Would you come?